Ladies and gentlemen of the Gresh and Fourier program, we apologize that you do not get to look at which hat Andy Hart has on today on Twitch, because Hart is only with us on the phone. He'll have to tell us what hat he has on. Hart, good afternoon.
You know, it's kind of lame when you have to take it off your head and check, but I do have the Brown University lacrosse hat.
That's my vote.
So,
What's your go-to? What's your go-to visor?
But he's also getting, but you're also getting to the age to where you forgot what hat you put on when you left the house a couple hours ago.
And well, you know who else is a visor guy we found out today? Dante Hightower, Patriots linebacker.
Really? Oh, how do you know that? Well, you saw him out there. Doesn't he got the dreads? He's got the dreads outside. Because I remember him with dreads.
He does have dreads, and that may be part of the reason why he is a visor guy.
Well, there you go.
Functional, but yes, he was among the defensive assistant coaches that we got to speak to today before practice after Gerard Mayo's.
See, he's an interesting guy, Dante Hightower. I feel like he just retired and like just disappeared. Right? Felt like he was just didn't want anything to do with the media. Didn't want anything to do with the Patriots. Did anyone get to talk to him and mention like where has he been and what has he been up to?
A little bit. I got in there a little bit late, but the thing I found most interesting is you're right. He got away from the game and he was texting and staying involved with Gerard and others. And I think that's how some of this came about. But then he also fully admitted that his first meeting was blocked out for an hour and a half. And he said at some point through the meeting, he realized he was not prepared to hold an hour and a half long meeting as a coach right now. And sort of that learning experience of what that takes and that preparation. And I think a lot of these guys, quite honestly, are going through that in this transitional.
Go back. Hold on real quickly.
Whoa.
Let me paint a picture for you, Andy. The two Andys, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because when you do these interviews, like if he was to go to the L.A. Chargers, mm-hmm. The coaches would put him into a room, just like you see a lot of these coaches do with these quarterbacks, and they would say, you know, prove to us that you're a smart linebackers coach, that you know coverages, alignments, philosophy. Prove it to us, right? And then they put him on the board, 2-eye, 3-eye, cover 3. So he's been out. I'm assuming he didn't have a clue what they were talking about.
Well, I think he had a clue. I mean, it's the same system he ran, and you're talking about one of the, you know, headiest football IQ savvy players in the history of this franchise, clutch, whatever ways you want to describe him and laud his playing career. But we all know that that's a difference, right? I'm sure there's people that speak for a living that if you told them to do a 4-hour radio show might run out of gas about 2.5 hours in and be like, I kind of used everything I planned on talking about. What are we going to do for the next hour and a half? Like, there's just, it's a role reversal. It's a transition. And I'm like, this doesn't mean he's going to be a terrible coach or they're in trouble on defense. I just think that's what this whole period right now is all about. I mean, even going back to, remember when they weren't ready to, they didn't want to take advantage of the extra week of OTAs, the off-season program, because they wanted to make sure they were ready. Some of that is coaches that haven't coached before or haven't been with Gerard before, or Gerard not being the head coach. Like, there's a lot of reason why they're in a transitional period here, which I think is a reason why some people have low expectations for this season. Not just talent, but, like, there's a learning on the fly aspect to the Gerard Mayo era here, and he admitted it today, like, he's been a head coach for a couple months now. There's going to be an evolution of him and philosophies and what he believes in. Right now, he's just falling back on hard work works. That's their big thing. Hard work works, and they believe that the Patriot way was built on working harder than anybody else, and they're going to try to use that as the foundation again.
So who's coaching the coaches? Like, so if Mayo has to take time out of his day instead of learning how to be a head coach, to teach Dante Hightower how to coach, aren't we automatically behind the eight ball?
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. The simple answer is yes, you are behind. You do not have a cohesive veteran staff that's all worked together before, that's all been in their roles for 5 years. Now, offensively, I do think he is allowing Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo to do their thing, and therefore he's probably focused a little bit more on defense at times. And, you know, that's an example. He can teach Dante Hightower what he needs to do as the linebackers coach because they're both players. Now they both elevate to that same role. Gerard was in that role for 5 years and then elevated from that. So But yes, that is, like, we're going to fixate on all the players out here. Oh, what reps is Drake May getting? Is he going to jump over Bailey Zappi? Or who's on the line? We're going to fixate on all of that in May and June and July and then into the season. But there's just as much work, in my opinion, and development going on for the coaches and the scheme. Like, that, this whole team, this whole season, to me, is just one massive, big old work in progress.
Well, I mean, see, I'm not nearly as worried, I think, as with Hightower, because, you know, if anyone can teach the nuances of the position, it would be him. Now, the rest of the stuff for him is going to be just, you know, time management, devoting time to breaking down plays. Like, you know, teaching is not going to be an issue for him. He's going to know what to do, and I think he's going to be a good teacher. Now, the whole lifestyle of a position coach in the NFL, I think, may be a little bit different.
Yeah, no, I think the one thing that Dante has going for him is the cachet of who he is. I mean, okay, so maybe he was a little ill-prepared for his first meeting. Maybe you would have jumped on, you know, some young, up-and-coming coaching assistant in that same position. You're not going to jump on Dante Hightower. This is one of the great players in this organization, one of the, you know, clutch players, Super Bowl plays. You're going to give him the benefit of the doubt to evolve, much the way, you know, the old idea, like, Belichick has the rings when he walks in the room, or, you know, in a flawed sense, some of the assistants, when they went places, the idea was, oh, their cachet came with the rings that they had won. I think Dante has that cachet. You're right, the lifestyle change and the learning to be a full-time coach and going from doing nothing to being here at 6 in the morning till 10 at night. Now, I also don't know if that's true anymore. We need to see, because I know talking to Jerod Mayo and some of the things Jerod has said, I don't think he believes you have to be here 18, 20 hours a day to do your job. Get your job done and get the hell out of here. No holding down your desk, no being seen just to be seen kind of issues, and maybe communicating better. And if everybody does their job in a more communicative way without silos, his word, not mine, maybe you can get out of here a little earlier at times. So I do think there's some of that going on. You know, we talk about the modern corporate culture he's trying to build. I think some of that is that old school, oh, football coaches have to sleep in the office and work 20 hours a day. I think he's pushing back against that.
Oh, sweet Jesus. So we got neophytes. A head coach who's letting the offense kind of run their deal. Hey, you don't have to stay here all night. Holy jeez. How am I supposed to process this, Art? Like, and you know my thoughts on all this and being like, good Lord. So, I heard Elliot Wolf on the whole quarterback decision, but if McAdoo and AVP are kind of running it, like, doesn't Mayo just kind of go along with everybody else? I mean, is he... He's teaching Hightower? Sweet Jesus, help me.
This is the reality of when you change coaches. This is the reality of when you hire inexperienced coaches. This is, you know, you've sort of preached it, Gresh. This can turn into a cycle, and there's a reason this can turn into a cycle in places. And I'm not saying it will or won't turn into a cycle here. I believe it won't, and I believe the reason it won't is a guy that is about 20 yards from me working out, throwing into a net, and his name is Drake May. Because I think the quarterback gives you more cachet. It lifts all boats. It is a rising tide. But if Drake May can't play, then, yeah, there's a lot of questions. Because talent-wise, this roster has questions. Coaching-wise, this roster has questions. Scheme, this roster has questions. So, like, this team has a lot of questions to answer. I was just talking to old buddy Paul Perillo on the field here.
How's old Paul doing?
Cranky as ever, miserable as ever. He's Paul, you know, Paul. Yep. Being Paul. But the last time this team might be able to argue they're the most talented team on the field could be the preseason opener against the Panthers. Like, that's the reality. So for even with all this other stuff we're talking about, this organization is in a complete rebuild. I firmly believe that, like, the talent just isn't there to have high expectations. And then you marry that up with the changes in the coaching staff and all this. And, you know, it is what it is, as some famous coach once said.
I tell you what, you just listed, like, usually at the beginning of the season, if you're starting to figure out, like, who's going to win, who's going to lose, and even, like, during the season, you have a rookie quarterback, a first-time head coach. Usually I'm like, I always pick the other team. Now you have a rookie head coach. You have 20-something, you know, I don't know, new coaches. You have a scheme, development, personality development, coaches. I mean, holy cow, the picture that I have in my mind now is worse than I ever thought it would look, Andy. I'm trying to figure out, like, what's a successful season? Like, what does it even look like? Are we just punting this year away?
I don't think it's punting. I think that's, like, disrespectful to the reps and the games and the competition, but the reality is you're swimming upstream. The reality is if everything goes right, this is probably a 5-win team. If things don't go right, it's a 2- or 3-win team. Who knows? So, but to me, a successful season is development. And I know no one wants to hear that, but
sounds like
we were
Red
in
Sox.
That world a few. Well, yeah, the difference is the guys are here. And you saw it on the first OTA when Drake May, Javon Baker, Jalen Polk were the last guys on the field. They left the field together. They're hamming it up. They're doing extra work. Like, that's the future of the offense. And if that develops this year, if those guys are making plays in December, if they're all on the field making plays, that's a good first step towards this being a successful season. Because if you marry that up with a veteran defense that is returning its scheme, that has more continuity with coaches and has the stud corner, the veteran pass rusher, if it has all those things, Barmore, Duggar. Well, now when you head into 2025, we're having a totally different conversation next May when I'm out here at OTAs. But that all starts with developing the quarterbacks and the offensive players.
Was there anything noteworthy from Mayo's discussion with y'all today?
No. I mean, he joked about, we're all learning, and Stacy even told me after the last time a couple of things I need to work on. Like, he loves, and I love this about him. You probably don't, Gresh, but he's very open with the fact that he is green and he is inexperienced and he is learning on the fly. And I enjoy that. Now, I didn't enjoy some of his Patriot Way stuff when he said we just believe we work harder around here. I don't believe you work harder around here. I think there's some of the other 31 teams work really hard too.
Yeah.
You need to find the talent, right? Yeah, like, you need talent. Like, you need scheme.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing too is, and Elliot
it's
Wolf
kind of
said
a contradiction, though.
Well,
also,
but even Elliot Wolf with the whole, we're a developmental program. Yeah, you're developing coaches right now, and if you're developing coaches, how the hell are you going to develop players? The coaches
absolutely
have to be developed to develop the players. Oh my God.
Christian, a quote that stood out for me, and maybe only me, maybe I make more of it than anybody, but he had a quote where he said, he was talking about how guys prove themselves in the film room, in the meeting room, in all these other rooms, and he said, and in the weight room, you put heavy weight on their backs and see how they react. And I was like,
oh, my back.
Well, there's been a lot of, obviously, debate over the years of heavy squats and Alex Guerrero and feuds in the training room and Gronk not wanting to squat. And Jake Bailey squatted too much and he got hurt. And I thought that was interesting, sort of. And I love it, as a hardo myself. I love the idea that, yeah, make them do some heavy squats and see how they react, because it's still football and you still have to be able to move big people and you still have to be powerful. But I like the little bit of a throwback nature of Jerod Mayo that I'm seeing, because we talk about the new age part. He still has a little throwback football player in him, too.
No, and I don't mean take that seriously. I mean, that's just like a phrase he's just using, because nobody squats in the NFL anymore. They don't do it. No, they don't. It's like it's just such a health concern. Nobody does it right, and everybody got hurt. And here's the thing. All this stuff existed with Bill. But Bill never talked about it. He judged you on your weight, on your weights that you moved before and after. He judged you on your age, and if your weight stayed the same, it was a sign that you could still play. He judged you in the classroom. Holy cow, it's loud back there. But the only difference now is that somebody's admitting it. Like, that's the only difference.
There's transparency now. There's an openness to the culture here. And I always said over the years, I didn't think Bill had to be so closed-doored. I thought his way worked, and the lack of transparency was not the reason they were good. It was all the things that he was not being transparent about that were good. The talent, the schemes, the coaching, the preparation, all of those things. It wasn't the clandestine nature in which he treated everything. But, it's a different time. We can keep saying it in different ways. Jerod is trying it his way. That thing I wrote last week with Keon White, he did point, by the way, Keon White last week talked about how he likes Mayo and his genuine nature. He was asked to pick out one person who's jumped out to him this spring, and he said Keon White. Now, coincidence? I don't know. Or maybe he's happy that the guy pumped him up last week in the comments, but he said Keon White looks like a guy ready for a year two jump.
Yeah, I agree. And I would agree with that. He looks like he could be a animal. Andy Hart, boots on the ground at Gillette. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. We'll catch you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.